Blog Talk Radio.
Hear the heart of heaven beating. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the hush of mercy breathing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hear the host of angels sing, glory to the newborn King, and the sounding joy repeating, Jesus saves.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. Today is going to be one of those really memorable interviews, I believe. We're so thankful for our guests. We've got with us Don Wildman from California. Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing in Alabama?
Well, to tell you the truth, Don, I am not doing too well. I was until I talked to Pastor Mary, who's on with us. And I'm going to let her share the time that you have usually, Don, to talk a little bit about the devastation. Pastor Mary Shelnut has a ministry in Enterprise, Alabama called Ground Zero Ministry, where she helps the people that are homeless, the drug addicts on the streets, to really, you know, get a new life. And it has worked so well, believe it or not, without government funding, Don. Can you believe it?
I think most things work well without government.
It's so incredibly well that pastors are hearing about it, and she was asked by North Alabama pastors to help form a ministry, a Ground Zero ministry in North Alabama. Well, unfortunately, North Alabama got hit, and, you know, the place where they were serving meals for the homeless also got hit. So I'm going to let her come on and just tell a little bit about it to start us off, Don. Hi, Pastor Mary.
Hi, Diana. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me, first of all, I'm a little remiss. I've been working on trying to get a little bit of information from you so that it can be aired for a Saturday show locally on the FM station so that Coffee County and other places surrounding South Alabama will get a chance to give back, because Coffee County got devastated with the March 2007 tornado, and it killed some of our students in the high school. And, you know, the whole nation really gave so much love and support to the Enterprise area, but now it's a chance for this part of the country to really help those in North Alabama. But if you don't mind, Pastor Mary, let's start it off with prayer.
Okay, sure. Father, we just come before you right now. Lord God, we want to lift up all of the families in North Alabama who have been devastated by this storm, Father, who has been touched by this storm, Father. We just pray right now, Lord, that you would just touch all of the families and all of the community, Father, that those who have been affected and those who have some concerns, Father. We just pray, Lord, that your peace would just come over every person, Lord. And we pray, God, that they would know that you're there in the midst of the storm, that you are a shelter for them, Lord, that you are food, you're water for those people who are without today, Father. And we just pray right now that peace will be over them, that your love will cover them, and Lord, and that you would just touch hearts of the people from all over to come to their rescue and help, Father, in the time of need. And Father, we thank you for those who are listening today, Lord. We pray for them, Lord God, if they're going through a storm right now in their life, Father. We just pray your peace be over them. Touch them right now, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, you know, I got a phone call from you this morning, which you're very hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Dawn, I have known her for many, many years before Ground Zero was here, and, you know, she has really become such a wonderful friend. But she's very busy, and but she does take time. She used to be on the show once a month, but it's gotten so much so that she can't do that anymore. I mean, she's just so in such demand. And but I got a call from her this morning, and I thought, you know, I got that email from you, Don. It hasn't really hit me that much because, as you are aware of, I'm in Texas right now visiting family. So, I really was not into it like I needed to be, but then I got a phone call from Pastor Mary this morning, and her husband has lost a family member, and their own ministry had a couple that was ministering to them, was part of a praise and worship, and from what I heard, they too died. Tell us what you know of the events, if you don't mind, Pastor Mary.
Yes, we, of course, we, for those who don't know where we are, we're in Franklin County, and it's a little town called Field Campbell, which is an area where it's a lot of poverty there, where there's hardly any jobs. And so we, some of the pastors, we connected with the pastors in the area, and we started a mission there where we take in women and children. And we also had right downtown Field Campbell, which has been hit really hard. It's just so devastating right now. It's where we had our mission there. We had a little chapel there. We had a food pantry where we fed people every week. They come there to eat and get meals there. It's just destroyed right now. And so it's just kind of a moment where, you know, we just in devastation, just shock, you know. It kind of caught everybody off guard. And so we just appreciate you, Diana, allowing us to come on today to share, you know. And what there was a couple who at the church that we go to there, they did praise and worship. And one of the songs she sung last Sunday for Easter, she sung a song, You Never Know. This is a song that she sung at church last Sunday, was You Never Know. And here it is now, we've lost her and her husband. And so we're just, I tell you, it's just a tough time right now. But we do know that God is still in control. We do know that. And we just appreciate, you know, all the listeners out there, those who have heard about this tornado, that, you know, they would continue to pray for these families and lift them up in prayer, because we know that's what gets us through tough times, is just prayer and you know, being concerned about each other and loving each other at a time like this.
Well, Pastor Mary, you had mentioned earlier about a lady that y'all found still buried in her cellar.
Yes, we did. We sent a team out on yesterday, and, you know, it was just amazing that, you know, because, see, there's a lot of rural area in that area. It's just, it's mountains and rural areas, and we sent a team out, and they went out, and we found an 85-year-old lady. She was in her cellar. A tree had fell on her cellar where she couldn't get out, and she was trying to dig her way out, and we were able to set her free, and we were able to get her out and get water to her. She was thirsty, and you know, we ministered to her and prayed with her and got the tree off of her house. It had fell on her house as well as the cellar, and so these are areas where we want to go into, and we want to take some food and water, because you know, there is a lot of teams over there and places set up, but a lot of people are not going into the rural areas. And so this is one of our projects that we have taken on, Ground Zero has taken on, to go into the rural areas and take water and food in those areas where people can't get to.
Wow. Well, I've been a little bit to that part of the state, and if I remember right, it is, I think it's on the edge of the Appalachians, and so it's kind of mountainous. And
yes, it is.
So
a lot of mountains and hills.
I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful green trees, just fantastic view. But I can just imagine how hard that's going to be to really find everybody. And what is the count right now? I've heard something about over 200 people are dead from this tornado.
Yes, we have an official count. I think it's over 40, just right in our little area where we are. Of death toll, and there's still many people missing right now. So, and I think I've heard this morning over the whole state of Alabama up to over 300. So, it's just, you know, it's really really kind of hit home here. It really has.
Well,
your
husband had showed me a little bit of the video. I went to the site where he had, it looked like right after the event, y'all were probably one of the few vehicles that were, or the ones that he showed in the video were one of the few vehicles that could probably travel through there, but you know, it just really looks awful. And I'm going to try to put an article link on our website. Hopefully I can do that pretty quick. But tell us your needs. I don't want to keep you on too long because I know you've got to get off. I know that I called somebody for you that hopefully is going to give you a generator to use. Did that work out?
Oh, God, that would be great. We definitely.
Yeah, he's got a 5,000-watt generator that he wants y'all to use. So
awesome.
You'll have to have somebody pick it up from him. That's going to be a blessing. But what are your needs that you want people to send? I know you said lots of water.
Yes, we can use water because the city officials are not even sure why our water system went down. And of course, you know, we don't have any power as well, but we don't have water in the entire area right now. So we can use plenty of water, you know, bottled water, jugs of water. We could perishable items such as like toilet paper, you know, any kind of sanitary items like that. We can use hand sanitizers right now, you know, just any kind of things for children. Any clothing right now would be great because everything has been lost. A lot of the homes are just have nothing. Everything has been ruined. And so, you know, any kind of clothing donation, food donation, water, things like that would be so much appreciated right now.
And I think you said candles, too. Did I hear you say earlier?
Yes, we can use candles. You know, we definitely can use candles right now. There's because we don't have any power. Not even the churches that are around our mission, nobody has power right now. So we can definitely use the candles.
Well, and you said that there's going to be a truck leaving Monday, and your Ground Zero is going to be open Sunday to take in some, whatever people want to drop off.
Yes, we'll be.
Give them your number. I know you've got two numbers you want to give out.
Okay. Yes, we will. We'll be at it's 181 Geneva Highway in Enterprise, and we'll be open all day Saturday and all day Sunday accepting donations for anybody that want to help out with these. With this North Alabama area, and the number is 877-234-1725. That's a 800 number, and it's a toll free number. And the other number is 256-668-7889. And they can contact.
If you don't
us,
mind, repeat those. Repeat that number again. I'm sorry.
Okay. Toll free 877-234-1725. And then the other number is 256-668-7889. And they can reach us at any one of those numbers, and we can, you know, get the if they want to make any kind of monetary donation, we certainly would appreciate that because it's one of the huge problems we're having right now is gas because the gas stations got blown away, and so, you know, monetary donation would really help to get the food to that area. It would help out a lot.
Well, God bless you, Pastor Mary. We're going to hold you up in prayer, and hopefully the listeners will come to your assistance. And I hope that your husband got that phone call about that generator. You probably could use more than one, I'm sure.
Yes,
but,
yes, we could.
If not, I'll call you later on, and I'll make sure that, you know, you got that information because he's thrilled to be able to help you all out and, you know, make that accessible for you all. So.
Well, that's
anyway,
that's
well,
so
God
great.
Bless you, and we're going to get updates from you next week. I'm going to try to get a hold of you throughout the week and try to get find out what's going on, what else is needed. And, Dawn, would you like to say something to Pastor Mary?
Well, I just took down that information and your phone numbers as well, Pastor Mary, to get out to our folks. And we had a little bit of an update earlier from our state coordinator that's in up near Huntsville in Morgan County. And and he was relaying the same type of information. They're out of power, and, you know, it's pretty devastating. So I'm going to get this out, all of our folks in Alabama, in Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, because the surrounding states, even Minnesota, has said, let us know what we can do to help, and we will be there. So I know everybody wants to help.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Well, Pastor Mary, this Dawn is just a godsend. So, I mean, you know, God has just put her for such a time as this for our nation, and I tell you, she will do everything she can to help. I'm sure of it. So
yes, and you know, I want to mention also, Diana, I would love to mention, I want us to remember, you know, we have the National Day of Prayer coming up, and of course, I'm a big part of that. I just want to mention that while we were talking, and this is a perfect time, you know, for everybody to really just put, you know, these counties and these towns on their prayer list. You know, I think it's the first Thursday in May, the National Prayer Day. Yes.
Oh yes, we will. That you're right. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week, and I'll probably talk to you later. God bless you.
God bless you, and love you, and appreciate you.
Love you. Thank you. Well, Dawn, I'm so glad she got to go on and you got to hear her. I know you were. Thank you so much for that email. You know, I just appreciate getting that email. It just really made me think back. But how are you doing?
You know, it has been, you know, one of those weeks that actually reaffirms to me that God puts us where we're supposed to be. Last week I was in South Carolina in Columbia watching my nephew graduate from Fort Jackson. And, you know, the weather wasn't great then. As a matter of fact, while we were flying back from Dallas to go through Dallas, is when the tornado hit the St. Louis airport. And, you know, that, excuse me, that all by itself made you kind of get that wake-up call that Mother Nature is, you know, an all-powerful thing that can happen at any time that you never expect. And so Dylan had left Saturday morning or Friday morning for Redstone, so right up by Huntsville. So I was receiving text yesterday from him saying he was in lockdown at the Army base there because of the tornadoes. And I just asked him one question. I said, are you in a concrete building? And he said yes. And I thought, okay, good. God is good. You are safe. Now I can concentrate on everybody else. So the first thing we did was send out emails and calls, you know, knowing that probably power was down, but you try everything, to our state coordinators and our groups throughout Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, just trying to get a hold of people. And I just this morning before I came on heard from our folks in Alabama up by Huntsville. And even the email, even though you don't have that emotion in email, you can feel it. It's palatable that these folks are, you know, first and foremost thankful to God that they have survived it. But, you know, I just can't even imagine coming out of your home or wherever you were during this and seeing the devastation around you and knowing so many people lost their lives. That's, you know, it really is heart-wrenching. And, you know, I know they're with God and this was their path, but it's just one of such an unexpected tragedy. You know, in 2011, I guess we all think that we're kind of beyond having to worry about that stuff. But, boy, every time I see those pictures, I just think, holy cow. I'm actually really more surprised that there wasn't more loss of life considering the damage that we're seeing.
Well, in her town, you know, she said 40 people. And
wiped Tuscaloosa off the map.
Yeah, I'm sure it's wiped the whole town out, because I remember the March 2000 tornado that hit Enterprise. We had, you know, the high school collapsed, and we lost some students, and how devastating that was for the whole county. So this is just something else. It's just incredible. But God is, I know, going to hold them up, and I just hear it in her voice. I'm just, you know, you just really feel it in her voice how, because she has worked with these people and how hard it must be. But I thank God for the strength that you can hear also, because she knows where her help and her hope comes from. And Don, isn't that wonderful that we live in a country where we know what, you know, life and all that is founded on? It's just really, we are so blessed.
This is one of those times that makes, I think, everybody stop, but especially I think if you're Christian, you stop and you say, this is out of something that is probably one of the worst things anybody will go through in their lifetime as far as, you know, something that is caused in the environment. But you are seeing the absolute best in people. Already seeing, you know, college students from the University of Alabama that are out trying to pull people out of homes, hearing about Pastor Mary pulling people out of their homes, seeing people who don't hesitate. Our state coordinators, Mike Power in Alabama and Morgan County, said, you know, they just made sure their neighbors were okay, and people, it was so wonderful to see neighbors helping neighbors. And here I am on this email thread with people from Minnesota, Connecticut, all over the country that are telling him, let us know what you need and we will be there. And that's what this country was founded on.
Wow, yes. Well, I think I remember you saying something about it's like building a house, a barn building.
It's barn building. This is old-fashioned barn building. I mean, back in the day, and still happens in communities, you know, you couldn't build a barn by yourself. Well, you know, certainly I'm sure you could. It would just take you forever. But the way people put up a barn and the way people reacted after some sort of, you know, calamity was that you got the neighbors together, they came over, and without the help of everybody pulling all sides of that up at the same time, you can't build that barn correctly and you can't do it in an efficient manner. And what we've seen happen in the last 2 years with the reawakening of not just conservatism, but I really think in that, the spirit and the foundation of the Judeo-Christian ethics and morals that built the country, there was a reawakening now of that. That's really made people reach out to each other in ways that, you know, we haven't seen probably since you and I were kids. So it's really, I think, sometimes amongst all the disaster and chaos and horror of something like this, I really look deep inside and say, you know, God was really great in reawakening us to join together. Because I don't hear, first of all, I don't hear one person screaming about the government, come fix this. What I am hearing time and time again, just for the last 36 hours, has been neighbor helping neighbor, people driving as far as they can get their car to go help people for no other reason but this is what they're called to do. Now, that is, if that isn't the most fantastic, totally shining in the path of God and taking everything you've ever read, heard about the Spirit of God and putting it to work, I just don't know what is.
Yeah, we're going to hear so many stories out of this, like you're saying, you know, of neighbors helping neighbors and just showing how much they care for one another. And that is the reason also, you know, that you're doing a barn building right there in regard to what is going on in the halls of Congress, Don. You know, the Tea Party has been really so great at building relationships. And trying to make sure that we have people that really cares about people in our Congress so that we can have a better nation. I mean, this is a nation that, as we've heard stories, you know, of those World War II heroes, the greatest generation, you know, we hear so many great stories about great people in America. I mean, being kind and loving and generous to one another, it's not a rarity. It's really the way this nation was set up. It was an everyday thing. I mean, it's really what you do for one another all the time, should. And I know you're working so hard, Dawn, at that. So we're going to switch gears from the tornado devastation to the devastation of the, well, I hate to say it, administration, because they have done so many things wrong, and I know we're trying to dig ourselves out from it. So tell us, though, what are some of the things right now that we need to really be looking at?
Well, we had rallies in district offices yesterday for Congress people, for people to reach out, see how their congressperson voted for the continuing resolution, because we really wanted them to understand, we don't want you to raise the debt ceiling. We don't want you to continue down this path of spending, spending, spending. We want you to sign on and vote for the Full Faith and Credit Act that is, it's Toomey's bill, and it's about making sure that, because one of the excuses that's been being used by the Democrats is that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we won't be able to pay our bills and we will go bankrupt as a nation, blah, blah, blah. Well, not only is that completely untrue, but the Full Faith and Credit Act ensures that that won't happen. It's a little bit like any sort of a reorganization of your financial system that you have to do at home. The first thing you do is you pay your bills, make sure your mortgage is paid, make sure your lights are paid, and whatever. And any luxuries come next. The problem with D.C. and so many state governments is that they think everything that is a typical luxury to most of us is a need. And we understand the difference as people because we have to do it every month in our own family budget. We see food costs going up. We see energy costs, gas costs. The only thing that isn't going up is our paychecks, so, or the creation of jobs. And so we're just asking government to do exactly what we do. And so we had a lot of folks out yesterday that went to their congressmen's offices and let them know that this is our expectation. This is not us saying, oh, we suggest you do this. No, we're saying this is our expectation of you. We voted you in a representative government to represent our interests, not your own, not John, not Boehner's, not the leadership in the D.C.'s interests, but our interests as a citizenry. And, you know, we're just really trying to push them back to why you're there. You know, nothing infuriates me more, especially after having been to Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina, watching all of these young men and women graduate from boot camp. And my father says he doesn't understand why there's so many people here, because it's boot camp. You know, when he went to boot camp, nobody showed up. When my husband went to boot camp, nobody showed up to watch him graduate. Why are so many people here? And I said, well, Dad, they're probably doing the same thing I'm doing, which is you're now looking at your young men or women who left your home, who are now these grown into these very mature, capable, confident soldiers, and knowing that in a year or less, they will be in a theater of war. And that makes you come to these things. And my father says, you know, you're probably right. So seeing these young people that are willing to put their life on the line in service to this country, what totally infuriates me is that those that represent us in government, it was supposed to be a service to us, not a career path, not a power-grabbing, job placement for you later on in life. Nobody looks at it as service. And that's the first mistake. So we just keep reminding him.
Yeah, it's so sad. I remember hearing a snippet in the news about Obama, that he voted a certain way when he was a senator, but now that he's a president, it's like he can't vote that way anymore. And I'm a little bit lost. What is the difference then and now? I mean, both were really positions of service to the nation, you know?
Interesting thing about that is we found this out doing you know, doing all this debate about the continuing resolution, and when there was supposed to be this $365 billion or whatever, or $65 billion that Congress said they were going to cut from the budget after, you know, those that were in Republican leadership had promised a $100 billion cut. But what came out of that with the policy writers that were written into it for Planned Parenthood and also defunding Obamacare, what we realized was that the exact wording for this defunding of federal dollars for Planned Parenthood, Title 10, had been voted on like 9 different times. Clinton had voted on the same and passed through the same wording. Senator Obama had voted for and passed through. President in 2009, Obama signed off and passed through the same wording. So this time they decided to hold that hostage to, you know, try to weasel a deal. And it becomes very infuriating when it's not about principle, but it's about party or power. And I got to tell you, I became so disgusted with what has been happening even in my own state with the Republican Party that just this week I re-registered to vote as a nonpartisan voter, because I just knew in my spirit that as long as I continue to be a member of the party that I saw as being the most corrupt, unethical group of individuals, that I was saying it was okay what they were doing. And for me, I just couldn't do that anymore. So we're seeing a lot of folks do that here in California because, you know, I would love just once to have to really, really fight the left. It's really the leadership within the Republican Party that is the biggest disappointment. And this this movement grew out of our disappointment after some of the things that happened during the Bush administration, and continues to grow out of disappointment by the GOP leadership. Now, I'm not saying every single person in leadership in the GOP is corrupt or unethical. I'm just saying that the people that are in power, it seems to be all about that. It's about power. It's not what's good for the constituency. It's not good, and both sides do it. But it becomes even more disappointing when it's supposed to be different in a party that's supposed to represent what we thought of as all of our core values to begin with, you know, the founding documents. This was supposed to be the party that upheld that. And instead, it's a lot of, you know, stealing from Peter to pay Paul, creative financing, smoke and mirrors, and they still think we're all stupid. So,
well, they need to wake up, because I imagine the independents are growing in numbers by leaps.
Well, not
bounds.
Only is the swing vote growing in numbers, but ironically, Frank Luntz did a poll recently, and swing voters in this poll are starting to look and sound a lot like Tea Partiers. So somebody better wake up, because it's going to be about the numbers. And it's not going to be good for the administration. They continue to do things that I think amaze people, just completely. Every time you think you can't be any more shocked, something else comes down the pike, and, you know, you're just as shocked by that. So I do see so much hope, though, and I do see so much change. We've managed in 2 short years to accomplish a lot based on having they had a 100-year start ahead of us. You know, for 100 years, the progressives have incrementally been slowly building this stuff into every part of our lives. Every institution that we can think of has their hand all over it. So it's backing ourselves back out of that and seeing it and changing it. It's not going to happen overnight, but we certainly know a lot more now than we did 2 years ago. And frankly, knowing is the beginning of changing. So I have a lot
of... I've heard people say, Don, that, you know, it's like they think that, oh, you know, those that voted in 2010, the Tea Partiers, that, you know, they're just laying low now. They've become disinterested, and they're really not going to act, be more active. And I'm thinking to myself, I think I beg to differ. You know,
oh,
I think they're doing a lot of homework.
Actually, yeah, I think because the movement in its in and of itself is maturing. So we are gone past the, I think what people may see as complacency again, or us being gone, is because we're not out on the street corner every weekend protesting. There is a time and a place for that. We see the absolute benefit in doing it. But what we're doing now is we're in the halls of every capital now. Every chamber in every capital of every state, we are walking those halls. We are figuring out who friend is, who foe is, and working accordingly. People are becoming far more aware about the politics within their own local city councils, school districts, water boards, you name it. And changes are happening there, which means as a whole, since this is where these politicians are usually nurtured from the ground up, is in your city councils and school boards and et cetera. That means that, you know, eventually we are going to have a great crop of really good individuals who do see being part of representative government as a service to constituency in this nation and not a job path or a career path.
Yeah,
I think people just are mistaking the maturity of the movement with the notion that we're not out there. Yeah, we are. We're getting. We're sort of like that termite that got on your wood fence. You can't. You don't. You know it's there because you can see the hole, but you don't actually see it eating it. You know.
Yes. Oh wow. I'd like to see the building come down that needs to come down. But,
that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I, you know, I got a message from somebody that you know, and it was had a very interesting, you know, conversation. And that person is going to do a lot of study, a lot of homework on a very important issue of education. And I was just thinking, you know, she got me pretty fired up, Dawn. That was very interesting. I mean, she really has a passion. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, you know, this is something that can be done state by state, because education is really supposed to be handled state by state. It's not supposed to be federalized, nationalized, like you've tried to do with healthcare. But, and, you know, I was thinking of a name for it, and I thought of something that Miss Barbara loves to use, American exceptionalism. I think there needs to be an initiative for American exceptionalism in education, because as you're seeing, and you know very well, we've been talking about it, for a long time, I think that is being cut out, you know, with a dumbing down of the Common Core standards. And so one of the things that we're hoping that we'll see is really the money cut out and taken away from Obama's grasp, because he's going to try to hold more money for the Race to the Top grant as a carrot for these national assessments that's really going to nationalize education. So I don't know what's going on in education right now in Congress, but I know the budget's a busy item for y'all right now with May 31st looming. What's happening right now with that, Don?
Well, we know we're going to be going into a big battle Monday when these idiots return from Easter recess, and about the debt ceiling and, you know, the budget for 2012. So we're preparing for that, but education is certainly on our radar, and we think exactly as you say that, you know, it shouldn't be nationalized, that we need to bring our tax dollars back to our states and let our states and us within our state decide what our education looks like. And I know you're speaking of Miss Jana, and she got me fired up yesterday, too, about education. It just hasn't been... you know, I see stuff come across and I look at it, but, you know, I juggle so many balls, it just hasn't been something I've been working very strongly on. And I know other folks are, which is the great thing. But I was telling her some of the things that we were seeing in our state as far as education, which I know is not solely to California. We're seeing these kinds of things across the country. We have a bill here called SB 48, where they think in their infinite stupidity, the folks that we are actually graduating, especially in rural and inner cities, is a ridiculous number. It's so low. And Johnny getting out of college and still not being able to read and write is unacceptable, and it doesn't show America's exceptionalism. And the administration and the president calling teachers nation builders, which, you know, sounds like it was something directly out of Mao or Stalin, is a ridiculous notion. So, you know, I was telling her about this one particular bill. I said, you know, if all education across the country is seeing things like this, then we absolutely need to be taking a closer look. And what this bill is they want to rewrite all the textbooks in California to legitimize and highlight the supposed contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered folks. And I'm thinking, what does that even look like? I mean, most of the time, most of the history books I've seen don't even have the history they have in there correctly. But how does that look? Are we saying President Ronald Reagan, a heterosexual, blah, 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 blah? You know, what does that even mean? And the left has a response, well, don't worry about it. It's not as if we can afford to actually do that. So immediately my mind goes to, okay, this is another payoff to the special interest, whatever. But if this is your biggest concern about education, that scares me to my core. You're not talking about American exceptionalism or bringing our students back up to be the brightest, the most intelligent, most well-educated people on the planet. We are no longer that. And those Common Core standards is going to continue to dumb up our kids.
And then, too, Don, to top it off, they're going to take away money from needed services, as you were, you know, mentioning, things that really need the funding. And this is an extra. It's something that somebody wants. You know, W-A-N-T-S, swamp. I mean, let's get real here. People are needing jobs. They're needing help in other areas. And certainly, you know, newer textbooks, the money that's going to be used for things like that, I mean, they're going to have to cut something out in order to fund those. And I'm sure there's going to be quite a few states that will find money everywhere that they can just to placate, you know, this agenda.
Oh, absolutely. My state, there isn't an election that goes on that doesn't have some proposition on the ballot to get more money for what we're told is great teachers and the classroom. Well, every election I say the same thing, and I know I'm not alone in that. What happened to the last proposal that we voted yes on to give more tax dollars to this thing, which none of it ends up in the classroom, and oddly enough, The teachers, a lot of good teachers, don't end up, you know, it goes to the unions, it goes to the bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy continues to grow. So, you know, every time it turns around, and I told my husband, anytime they have something put up there, a proposal about schools or classrooms or teachers, I vote no, because I want to know what you did with the last money that was going there. You pulled money away from classrooms and schools to put it in your general fund because you're broke. You know, if you don't think enough, highly enough of education to stop playing with the money, then how do you expect ours to? And that's why I also think you're seeing so many parents that are doing whatever they can to get their kids into some sort of voucher system to get them to a private school or they're homeschooling.
Yeah. You know, I think we need to look back at how were the founders trained. You know, the only difference between them and now is technology. But, you know, I think we can teach our children the way they did. You know, I think what sent men to the moon still works. I think even Professor Jim Milgram says that, you know, that math works. Yeah, we can improve and tweak it here and there. But, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And it's, in essence, what they're doing. And it's really just to waste more money. Education is, the Obama administration has got somebody like a safe school czar that's getting paid boo-koodles of amount of money that's not necessary. And, Don, I hope that that is one of those things that y'all will help get rid of, is those czars, among other things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and it's not even just our children's schools that we're seeing this play out. You're now seeing it in California in our state colleges, our community colleges. Our community colleges in California this year will not hold a summer session. And the reason is they have no money. So the first thing our governor wants to do is pull money away from the UC system, University of California state school system. And so they can't afford to run classes during the summer, which means if you're a student and you're looking to get ahead, you have just now lost 8 weeks of study time. On top of that, in San Diego, at San Diego State, the chancellor there thinks that the best way to deal with so many kids trying to go to school here is to not give local kids, you know, sort of like first dibs. So they're going to be looked at just like out-of-state kids or, God forbid, those that aren't even here legally. I mean, because they just assume the only thing I see California wants to do for education is ensure that every person that has an illegal status in this country is educated for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you probably saw my email, Dawn, about Cthulhu Gulen, the Gulen Charter School.
Yes.
And how a lot of the teachers there are really foreigners, that, you know, they replace the good teachers here at home and replace them with those saying, oh, we don't, you know, we can't meet any, we can't get anybody qualified, never mind that right there in Pennsylvania you've got, you know, colleges that are turning out great teachers. So this is really ridiculous, and I'm hoping, you know, Madonna Garner is one of those that I think I've sent you emails on her. She's just really researching this. It's everywhere, all the waste and all the misuse of money. But anyway, let me ask you about, what do you hope to see John Boehner do in the next round? What are y'all wanting him to really do?
Go away. You know, John Boehner has had, at least for me, has had this, I find him to be interesting because he's not your typical run-of-the-mill sort of Harry Reid. He has a lot of personality. There's something about Boehner that's charismatic, which is great if you're an entertainer. It is bad if you are a bad politician. It's bad for us. So, you know, I think the first thing we'd like to see is for him to take the handcuffs off of our good conservative freshmen and quit trying to lead them down the garden path to this, you know, the ideas of the leadership there. Between Boehner and Kevin McCarthy, who's out of California, they are doing more to make it harder for those freshmen that came in very idealistic, very bent on setting the country right. They are making that job more and more difficult by telling them not to listen to the Tea Party people. They don't know what they're talking about, like we're a bunch of country bumpkins and we don't have a clue about any of these very important issues. And, you know, so we'd like to see him actually, frankly, put his money where his mouth is. He's very good at messaging what we want to hear. The only problem is, you know, it's a little like your teenager who's on restriction and they're trying to negotiate with you so they can go out and be with their friends, and they continue to tell you what you want to hear, but you know darn well if you let them off restriction that in 20 minutes you're going to have to put them back on. And that's Boehner. You know, he says everything we want to hear, but when it comes down to actual voting and his presence as leadership, it's sorely lacking. And so I think we'd like to see him do exactly as he promised he would and allow the leadership along with those freshmen to get the country back in order, because, you know, we help these folks get into gain control of the house. And if you are not going to do, was it not clear in the last election that if you are not doing what you should be doing and what the constituency is saying, the voters are saying you should be doing, then you will be gone?
Well, Dawn, I just think, you know, I know some would pretend that compromise is not a bad word. I think I heard Harry Reid say something about compromise has now become a bad word. Well, why did it become a bad word? And why is it still a bad word? Well, we're fixing to go off the cliff. You know, what good is it to compromise if you're going to go off the cliff anyway? You're just prolonging it from a day to a year. You know, it's just really crazy. And
here's
I think I agree with you.
Here's the sad truth about compromise. You cannot compromise your values, your principles. If you are truly a person who values the principles that you really believe in, the founding documents of this country, the ability for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where is compromise in that? We don't want compromise. We don't think you should be compromised. If you're a principled individual, I don't expect you to compromise. Even if you're not thinking the same way I do, at least stand in your conviction that you really believe that. But this notion of compromise, you know, is about negotiating. And you can't negotiate my principles. You can't compromise my principles. I'm sorry. If you can't do mine, then they shouldn't have theirs compromised.
And really, there's no money to compromise with. I mean, I just hear the president. It's like, you know, we cannot cut this out. We cannot cut that out. Well, if you don't start doing some cutting out, you're not going to have any money anyway that's worth cutting out anywhere.
Well, and there's no such thing. What they don't seem to truly understand that we do now is they work on the premise that all of this federal government is needed. Guess what? We don't work on that premise. We don't think that we need this. And, you know, if we were really doing with our tax dollars what they were supposed to be done with as far as securing the services of ensuring safety, public safety, police, fire, you know, making sure we have some roads that are safe, where beyond that have we asked you to dabble in our business? We pay all this money going for God knows what, and most of us, a huge percentage of us in the country, don't use any of those services that the government has built. So how is it, you know, we actually had, believe it or not, our Senate pro tem leader, Democrat in Sacramento, Daryl Steinberg, actually said in a newspaper interview on Wednesday that he was very angry that our Republicans in the Senate or in the government in Sacramento aren't voting for putting on the ballot a bunch of tax increases. So he's really upset by them because the governor needs at least one person in the assembly, one GOP, and one person in the Senate to sign off to allow these things to go to a ballot for the citizens to vote on. And we told our Republican leadership in Sacramento that if you vote to put this on the ballot, it's the same to us as if you voted for those tax increases. And here this man says, if you don't want to pay for government, well, then you get less of it. He's actually threatening to cut off services to Republican districts.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, the mob had nothing on these folks. I mean, this is like, for me, Sacramento is the biggest RICO case that anybody could ever make for racketeering. You're holding hostage, not to mention beyond the fact that how unconstitutional and illegal 50 times over this has got to be. But this is how he speaks. In public, to a reporter that he knows will print this because he's so audacious that it's not even a problem. I can say it, mean it. Not going to get any flack for it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Don.
Those are the.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, what North Carolina's governor was talking about. I mean, she's being threatened. You know, there they are welcoming Boeing, and they're being threatened. And I'm thinking, how ridiculous can we be?
Oh, it really, you know, the funny thing is I see somebody tweet the other day about how horrible was that these liberals from California went to Texas to visit Texas to try to figure out why jobs moved to Texas out of California. And the sad thing was I tweeted back to this person, here's the sad part of that story. That was actually the GOP leadership that did that. That wasn't even the Democrats in California. The liberals didn't go. Those were all Republicans.
Oh, no.
They thought it was a good idea to, and I even said to the person, the assemblyman staffer who led this little caravan, that you were going to spend taxpayer dollars in California to fly 8, 10, 15 people out to Texas to stay for several days to meet with Governor Perry to figure out why jobs are moving to Texas and not staying in California. Frankly, that could have been done with not only a phone call, but reading any of the 100 articles written on the subject between, you know, Tea Party stuff and, you know, everything in the last 2 years. Really, you had to go, huh? That's unbelievable.
That's insane.
They thought that was a good thing. They actually thought it would be good because it would raise awareness.
Well, that is so sad because it shows they're not listening to the people. I mean, they're just not even paying attention.
No. Well, and here's the worst part to me is it's not as if, I mean, this is a calculated effort to circumvent what a constituency wants. This isn't just even that, oh, I'm not listening to you. This is I refuse not only to listen to you, but now I'm going to pander to my own political needs or that of those that surround me, and it's not about the constituency.
Wow. It is sad. Well, Don,
these are the moments that are supposed to make you feel good that you don't live in California.
Well, you know, I feel bad for California because I'm afraid, too, you know, because if we don't try to stop it, it's just not going to stay in California. So, you know, that's a bad thing. It doesn't always just stay in California.
this is true.
Well, California
is a political crack addict, though. So until she goes through absolute withdrawals, you know, we're never going to be able to pick her up and straighten her up and get her to fly right. But in the meantime, you know, we're doing everything we can to educate folks, ensure that beyond anything else, they are truly aware of what's happening around them. Because if you are truly aware, I think, of what's happening around you, and you still vote to keep these people in, then you have just become part of the problem and not the solution.
Yes. And, you know, Don, there's a new book out. I don't know if you've picked it up, you probably don't even need to pick it up, but it's her name is Grace Marie Turner, the author of Why Obamacare is Not Good for America. She has got some really simple things in there. It's made for simple people. That's who, you know, why we don't need this government health care. One of the things that, like you said, you know, the government needs to be cut down. It's too big. It's too gigantic. And I just think also education, you know, we need to do something about that because as California, I don't know how much money California is going to spend to authorize this Common Core standards to be, you know, implemented, but you can't afford it. You can't really afford to spend another dime on it. And you won't be much better. So that's one of the things that we've talked about, education. People better get to waking up. But anyway, Dawn, thank you so much for everything you're doing. I'm so glad you got to hear Pastor Mary. That was really wonderful that she got to share the stories with you.
Oh, thank you, thank you. It really was wonderful to hear her, to get phone numbers, to have an ability to know what people need. And, you know, I think that's the hard part. You know, now we just got to do what we can to help meet those needs.
Well, I know that y'all are going to stand in the gap, and that's what, you know, Americans do. The majority of Americans, you know, want to help one another. And I thank God for this opportunity that you give us, Dawn, every 2 weeks, you know, to come on and tell us what's going on. And I just want to ask the listeners that, you know, to go to your website. But also, Dawn, in closing, what do you want them to do? I know we need to make some phone calls. And I would hope that, you know, our listeners, they're growing in numbers, Dawn, and your podcasts are very popular, so they're tuning into the Tea Party through your interviews. But what would you like for them to tell their congressmen?
I would love for them to tell their congressmen to vote no for raising the debt ceiling, and also to vote yes on the Full Faith and Credit Act. That takes away the excuse of the administration for raising the debt ceiling. It's a good piece of legislation. And until we get our fiscal house in order in this country, nothing else is going to work. And, you know, it really is dependent on all of us reaching out to our congressmen, our senators, and saying, enough is enough. It's time for you to tighten your belt just like we had, and you know, straighten up, fly right. We expect this of you, and if you don't do it, we will get your butt out the next time.
Well, you know, really, in essence, it's all about just garnering votes. It's not even their money, you know. It's taxpayers' money, hard-earned money, and it's all, it seems like it's just really to garner votes. That's what Obamacare is, and unfortunately, it's to placate, you know, their agenda and the people that have backed them. Short and simple. To garner votes. And
absolutely.
The best thing is they would bankrupt the country to garner votes.
Absolutely.
I mean, how unpatriotic is that? I mean, how non-caring is that? It cannot get any worse than that. If you care more about yourself, this certainly shows it. So I hope people will pay attention, do their homework like the Tea Party is doing, join the Tea Parties, and, Dawn, they need to be going to Tea Party Patriots. So tell them your website, Dawn.
It's teapartypatriots.org, or you can go to SoCalTaxRevoltCoalition.org to find information. The teapartypatriots.org site will get you, all you have to do is put your zip code in. It will show you the closest Tea Party to get involved with. If you want to start a Tea Party, it will show you how to do that and who to contact. So, you know, if you do nothing but educate yourself, we're already one step ahead.
Well, I know of one that just formed a new Tea Party, and I think they're very excited about it. So more and more people coming on board, and it's a good thing because it helps us all. It makes the work lighter for us all that we can make a difference. Well, Dawn, in closing, I'd like to give you this opportunity if you'd like to pray. I know that you're very touched by what's going on with the tornado victims, and I know you want to just lift them up among other things in this nation.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, please continue to protect our citizens. Please hold the souls of those that were lost in this tragedy close to you and help their families heal and understand they are with you now. Please continue to look after our servicemen and women home and abroad. Please continue to send wisdom the way of our politicians, our administration. We need them to come back to you and understand the principles that founded the country. I'm always going to continue to pray for them and with the hope that your word will be the thing that guides them in all these things. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, listeners, thank you so much for joining. And as always, we ask that you, you know, share the podcast with your friends and family so that they can learn with us. And we're so grateful to God for our awesome guests like Dawn, you know, who really has their heart in it. They have a passion and a love for this great nation and its citizens. And what a blessing it is to have you, Dawn, and doing what you're doing. We cannot thank you enough. And so I'm going to say goodbye to you, goodbye to the listeners, and hopefully they'll tune back in next week. And we've got, as usual, we've got great guests with great information. But for now, we'll say goodbye to Dawn, and may God bless you, Dawn.
Thanks, Diana. God bless you all, too.
See you in 2 weeks. Thank you, listeners, for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. Go to www.cityonthehill.tv and share this podcast with all your friends and family. Goodbye.